afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, America's business lifestyle coach, and I'm here to empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Today's show is sponsored by the Handmade Beauty Network. Mass-market beauty products just don't hold a candle to the independently made bath, body, and skincare products infused with a high proportion of natural ingredients, and you can get some of your own at the Handmade Beauty Network website at handmadebeauty.com. You know, last week, ABC's 2020 show featured a segment called Can Working Mothers Truly Have It All? It was hosted by Elizabeth Vargas, who you may know recently stepped down as co-anchor of ABC's evening newscast after she and her husband had their second child. Apparently, it had dawned on her that she could not have it all, and in the segment, she shared that she grew up actually thinking that she could have it all. During the show, viewers got to see a little bit of what life is like for Vargas now, and she expressed happiness and delight that she had a flexible schedule and she could choose when she wanted to work, and her evening 2020 show gave her flexibility to be with her kids when she needed to, and that she was also very well compensated. But she also interviewed many other women who are struggling to balance work and family, and I thought it was a really insightful show. But it offered no solutions. In fact, it ended with Vargas's summation that moms now have to add one more item to their endless list of things to do, that being to lobby government and private industry for more perks and benefits that recognize their situation. And as a mom, of course, I'm sympathetic to the challenges of raising two small children. I have my own. However, what we're here about at the Lifestyle CEO Show is not trying to get other people to fix our problems, but to come up with solutions of our own. And that is where today's guest comes in. Dr. Kathy Marshak is a psychologist in private practice specializing in consultation to family-owned businesses. She has over 20 years of experience as a marriage and family therapist and a business consultant, and she has been profiled in many of the nation's leading business magazines. Her practice includes helping couples manage not only their marriages and their relationships, but also their businesses. Dr. Marshak is the author of a fantastic book, which I have been devouring ever since I got it, called Entrepreneurial Couples, Making It Work at Work and at Home. Welcome to the show, Dr. Marshak.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I am absolutely delighted to have you. And your book, as I was preparing for this interview, I was going through your book, and of course, as an entrepreneur myself with a family and a husband who works in my business sometimes, I really was fascinated not only by the stories that you tell in your book of people that you've worked with, but also by some of the principles that you grasp onto that are very, very helpful, and I can't wait to get into those. But first, I'd like for you to share a little bit, if you would, about how this topic became of interest to you. Of course, there's no shortage of business books and how to be successful in business, but can you share a little bit with listeners about how this entrepreneurial couple book came to be?
Well, you know, I was listening to your explanation about the 2020 show and having no solutions, and I think that this area really isn't explored, how to actually work and live with the one you love or ones you love. It's just not really explored. There are lots of business books out there. And as a psychologist and a marriage and family therapist, I worked with lots and lots of couples in small business or even larger businesses. And then one day I had this couple come in and say, you know, is there anything we can read on how to help our relationship and help it stay solid and healthy and have a successful business? And I thought for sure there'd be plenty out there, but when I started looking around, I couldn't find a thing and said, you know what, this is something I need to write up and help people.
Well, it certainly does that, and I know just, it's so funny, you've made this interview incredibly easy because your chapters are just perfectly designed to walk any entrepreneurial family through the things they need to consider to make a business a success. And I just love, you know, the first chapter and how you talk about who are these people? And, yeah, I mean, who are these people? Like, what makes us, and I'll say us because I'm in this situation, what makes us different from, you know, other couples who work just as hard at jobs outside the home or outside of their own businesses.
Right. Are you asking me about that?
Yeah. What is it that makes us different?
Well, you know, I'm frequently asked a slightly different version of that question. So this is really great that you're asking this. Often when I'm talking to journalists, they want to know what type of couple can be an entrepreneurial couple. And that question is really just terrible because it can be anybody. It really can be anybody. You don't have to. There is no type. We're all so unique. Obviously, people who are entrepreneurs are going to be real determined folks. But, you know, people can be determined in lots of different contexts. But so there's a variety of ways to be an entrepreneur or an entrepreneurial couple. And what works is for people to pay attention to who they are as individuals, what their dreams are for themselves personally and as a couple and as a family, and then design your business and your life to reflect that. So if you're really honest with who you are and work hard to be and take responsibility for who you are, then you can be very successful in both your personal life and your work life. But if you don't pay attention to that, if you get yourself pulled into, the busyness of business, then it falls apart.
So what are you saying that you don't have to necessarily be like a born entrepreneur to be a success or a successful part of an entrepreneurial business with your spouse?
Well, you know, I am basically saying that. We've tried for a long time to find out what the entrepreneurial personality is, if it exists, and there's just no research to support it. There is no entrepreneurial personality. It's more that there's multiple factors that come into play to help you be successful with this. Certainly, you have to be somebody who's going to work hard and who has confidence and things like that. But a lot of times, people just sort of fall into it. They didn't expect it at all, and they took the challenge on and did well.
Well, and it's funny how confidence and hard work comes when you need to eat, isn't it?
You know, when you have to take, absolutely, when you have to take care of yourself, but that's the whole thing. It's taking responsibility. It's realizing that the buck stops here.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of people are the ones who will probably make it. But I've had entrepreneurs who are just anxious people, and they worry themselves sick, and we've got this notion that an entrepreneur is a great risk taker, and that isn't necessarily true. Not at all. They can be people that, just like I said, worry themselves sick over everything,
mm-hmm.
but they still follow through.
Mm-hmm.
They may take longer.
Right.
Go ahead.
Take longer, but ultimately I guess you can still get to the same result. But Dr.
Yeah.
Marshak, are you finding that, of course, you may not have seen the 2020 segment on Friday, maybe you did, but either way, I'm sure it's not lost on you that there's any number of books and magazine articles and television shows on the topic that Ms. Vargas's segment covered on Friday. Are you finding at all that women and men are coming to you and, in their counseling sessions talking about the stress of work and family life and are asking for help at how they can be successful in a business? I mean, I'm just wondering because I hear so much of people say, you know, I need more flexible hours. We need better daycare. We need safer schools so we don't have to worry about our kids all day so we can actually do our job. What I don't hear a lot of is people joining together to say, you know what, we've got gifts, we've got talents, we've got educational background. Maybe there's something that we can do on our own. Particularly if you're married or in a relationship with someone you live with, you can do it together to create what you described as the kind of lifestyle that you want. Are you finding that people are coming to you with those questions?
No. What they're coming to me with are problems. And ultimately, I try to move them to those questions. I just love your approach, Donna Marie, because what you just keep coming from a very positive way to look at life. Yes, what we should do is move from looking at the problems to how do I create the quality life I'm looking for? Not how do I have it all, because that's like bogus.
Right.
It's how do I create a quality life, and this may take me a lifetime,
mm-hmm.
you know? It really might. And how do I do that with the ones I love? And how do I help them accomplish their dreams? But trying to have it all, I think, is the booby prize. I really do. This is foolish.
Well, it sounds good. It sounds good. And I think that's why, sure, it sounds good to have it all. But really, sometimes you have to be really careful what you ask for, too.
Absolutely.
As your book points out, one of the points that you make is that you've worked with couples who have been financially successful beyond their wildest dreams, and they have more problems that they can't handle than they did before that.
Right. They were unprepared for that kind of success. They didn't have the foundation, the spiritual foundation, the emotional, the psychological, the family systems foundation. They just didn't have that established along with the money, so they crashed and burned.
Right. But you have the money, so that's not everything. So let's say I'm a listener to this show and I have, a desire to be in a business so that, for the main reason being lifestyle,
right.
If I make a lot of money, great. And my spouse shares the same desire, but, we're working, 8, 9, 10 hours a day. We have a couple of kids. What would you say, practically speaking, is the first two or three things that we should do to assess our suitability for this kind of venture, whatever it may be, and what can we do to kind of get started?
Well, there are a lot of things to assess about whether you can do the entrepreneurial lifestyle, but the most important thing that I always want couples to take a look at is to realize that you are going to be spending a lot of time, intense time, on this business, and you're going to be doing it together. They think, yeah, this is exciting. On the other hand, when you spend that much time together, all the things that you don't like about each other will be magnified.
Hmm.
Now, there's this wonderful opportunity to enjoy each other because all the things you love will be magnified, too. You'll have more time to be with the one you love.
Mm-hmm.
And doing something creative, aside from the creation of children and raising them, that's a really exciting thing for couples, too. But in addition, you've got a business that you're creating and designing and taking out there into the world. That's exciting. But you're also going to be spending more time with all those traits that you sort of ignored and kind of forgave your partner for, but drive you crazy. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to follow up with a quick question. To some extent, you can do sort of all the preventive maintenance as you think you can, but ultimately a lot of those traits won't become apparent until you're in the trenches. Is that right?
Yeah, it's absolutely correct. You just don't realize how much some of that stuff annoys you until it's annoyed you 100-fold. And then there's other traits that your partner will demonstrate that you never even knew existed because you're engaging in new behaviors. You're running a business together. You're going to be learning things you never knew before. And you're going to see a side of your partner that you just didn't expect. So what usually comes from that is people get depressed, they get angry, they have more arguments, or they shut down. They don't talk to each other about things. And so that's terrible. So you've got to have a plan for communicating on a regular basis and resolving your differences of opinion, a plan for making sure you keep your business differences at work so they don't spill over at home. There's lots of structures that my couples figure out after the fact.
Figure out as they go along. Well,
yeah.
We're just a little bit away from the break here, and I guess what you're saying kind of goes back, too, to what you said at first, which is you have to establish what your goals and your priorities are, and I guess that sometimes can help you through the tough times. But we're going to go to our first break and come back and talk with Dr. Marshak some more about how we can be successful with our loved one in an entrepreneurial relationship. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. and GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're here with Dr. Marshak, Dr. Kathy Marshak, author of Entrepreneurial Couples Making It Work, At Work and At Home. And we've been talking about what groundwork needs to be in place in order for entrepreneurial couples to maximize their success. I'm going to give you our toll-free call-in line so you can call in your question or comment, and I know you guys must have some. So many people, if you have a business and you have a significant other, whether they work with you or not, you can probably use this book and some information offered by Kathy Marshak on our show today. The phone number is 800-773-0355. That's 800-773-0355, and you can join us live at globaltalkradio.com. Dr. Marshak, one of the things that your book discusses is, it questions whether women entrepreneurs are different from men. What sorts of things have you discovered in your practice as some of the differences, and how do couples work through them?
I do think that women entrepreneurs are different than male entrepreneurs. But gosh, when you start generalizing, there's always somebody that doesn't fit the category. So trust me that this is kind of a generalization.
Right. Well, one of the things that fascinated me, maybe this would be a good starting point for you. We'll put the if anybody wants to send me hate mail, you can.
Uh-huh.
I think in one section of the book it talks about women's primary motivation for making an entrepreneurial venture a success is kind of a family related issues, and there's not much of a division between family and business for women as there may be for men.
Right. Women, in general, don't make the distinctions in their relationships according to the context. So whether women relate at a relationship loving level with lots of people, so when they start a business, their goal is to kind of have a family of friends that they work with. They even treat their employees as if they're kind of family. And it's not that men don't do that, but they tend to make more of a distinction than women do. And so women, yes, automatically draw in people, and they just have this circle, this network of family and friends that they consider to be their business partners, even if they're just a stakeholder in the business, not any real investor.
Do you think that's a bonus, or is that a positive, or generally a positive or a negative?
Oh, well, it's just the way it is. I think it can be a positive and it can be a negative. I know that lots of husbands will refer to their wives' influence as extremely helpful because they like that employees like her, that they feel like she's the person who would understand what's going on with them, because she tends to make more of an effort to do that. On the other hand, she kind of works herself to death. She cares about everybody. She's worried about everybody. Women want to make sure that everybody is heard on a subject, that, you know, we don't move ahead unless it feels good to everybody, you know, and that can slow it way, way down.
Yeah.
Way, way down, because there's just decisions that have to be made, and you just can't make sure that everybody's part of it.
Mm-hmm. So recognizing those distinctions and accepting them without judgment, is that a good thing for couples to do and kind of...
I really think it is. One of the things I teach them, I just teach them the major differences between men and women in terms of how we problem solve. For example, men are willing to, this is all based on research, by the way, men are willing to make decisions based on the first best answer they find. Okay? Women want to find the best answer. So they take longer. Women take longer to get to the decision than men do. Men are okay to move ahead with it as long as it's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a husband and wife or significant others understand that about each other, if you're working with a man and a woman in the team, for example, then they just kind of recognize that they're going to need to give her a little more time to come around to what the best answer is, and she may also have to give him that, for now, we need to make a decision and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's all kinds of crossover. There's plenty of women who can just be very efficient, get it done, and they don't wait around, okay?
Right.
And then there are men who take forever to make their minds about things. But in general, this is the male-female difference.
Mm-hmm.
In those kind of decision-making things.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of, I was going to suggest another male-female difference is this, suggest how men and women talk with each other. Women will tend to put a subject out there,
mm-hmm.
and they'll say, what do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
And then his response is, you should do this. You know, you should do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's all frustrated because she just wanted to talk about it. She didn't want him to tell her what to do. Right?
Oh, that sounds so familiar.
It is very familiar. And then he gets frustrated because she doesn't do what he told her to do, but he wasn't really trying to tell her what to do. I mean, he wasn't like controlling her. He just gave her a darn good answer, and why did she ask if she wasn't going to go do it?
That's so funny. I know so many times my husband and I will sit down, I'll get this gleam in my eye, and I'll be like, I'd like to talk with you about something, and sometimes he looks at me and his eyes are saying, how long is this going to take? Because
right.
I can kind of chat about things for a while before I get to the point.
Absolutely. That's what women do. We want to talk about it. We want to sort through the various ideas. We don't necessarily want to be told what to do, but we do want his feedback. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we want to talk about it some more after he gives us feedback. And mm-hmm. he's wondering, what on earth? You know, so
yeah.
I always tell women, get to the bottom line. You know, give them the punchline first and then tell your story.
Right. Right.
That helps.
Yeah, I try to keep that in mind. oh, Dr. Marshak, your book has this really helpful self-assessment exercise. I want to ask you about the entrepreneurial couple style that you've developed. There are a couple of different couple styles that you describe. Can you go over those briefly and give a little bit of insight into what they mean?
Are you referring to whether people? Walk me through what section we're talking about.
Yeah,
here.
I'm sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit. I'm actually in chapter one. One of the exercises, I'm taking a look at the type of entrepreneurial couple. There's three types. There's solo entrepreneur with a supportive spouse, dual entrepreneurs, and then co-preneurs.
Right. I did that to help people sort of find a category for themselves. But as you said. Regardless of what type of, you know, factually categorized entrepreneur you are, if one of you is an entrepreneur, then everybody in the family is part of this entrepreneurial style. It just is the way it is. But the solo entrepreneur is, you know, someone who has started the business by him or herself. Their partner is not, their life partner is not necessarily a business partner. But they are a supportive spouse because they have to put up with the long hours, and a lot of times they're making phone calls at home to help him or her, you know, with the business, that kind of thing. Or maybe they're watching the children, or maybe they're working a full-time job so that the entrepreneurial family has health insurance.
Right.
The dual entrepreneurs are, I've kind of divided them into, that's a group where each person has their own business.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't necessarily work together, but again, they are both entrepreneurs and supportive spouses, and the business lifestyle or the entrepreneurial lifestyle is very much part of the family system again.
Mm-hmm.
And then co-preneurs are couples who are entrepreneurs who actually work in the same business and live together and, you know, raise their family together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it does kind of help to categorize it a little bit because you say that there are different sorts of dynamics and different types of personalities and dynamics at work depending on which one of these categories you fall into. So I'm hoping that we can go into a little bit more depth about each one, starting with the solo entrepreneur with a supportive spouse. Let me ask you this first. Have you worked with solo entrepreneurs with a non-supportive spouse, and what happens there?
Well, if the spouse isn't supportive of this lifestyle, of course, it makes it very difficult. But sometimes people manage. What they do is they, you know, like a chiropractor I know. His wife was not supportive. she did not want to work in the business, and she doesn't like his business. And she's extremely jealous, actually, of the women patients that he sees because he's touching them. So she doesn't work in the business anymore. She works elsewhere, and he never talks to her about the business.
So she was working in it for a while?
Yeah, she worked for a while, and then she left it because it was just too upsetting for her that he was kind and nurturing of women patients.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still married. He just has determined to keep the business totally separate. Now, I know that this is a bit of a emotional hardship for him because he loves his work and he loves his wife.
Right.
He would like to share his work joys with her, but she's not willing. So
it can work, though. What you're describing is a situation where each of them has worked out, I guess, sort of a resignation of the way things are. I mean, I guess she's happy that he's working because he's earning an income.
Right. I think it falls into the category you can't have it all. I mean, they've accepted that if they want to maintain their marriage, they are not going to be able to cross over into that world of sharing the business.
Right.
So they just don't.
And I would imagine, and maybe you can tell me this, I know sometimes, you know, in everyone's life, you struggle with something, and then finally when a resolution, which may not be your first choice, but some kind of resolution comes along like this one, an incredible weight is lifted from your shoulders when you kind of recognize your reality and deal with it.
You know, I think that's so important. It's like, pay attention to who you are and what works for you today. It doesn't mean that in the future it won't change.
And then you have the entrepreneur with the supportive spouse, which I guess is sort of the opposite of that dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, the supportive spouse, normally what goes on with the supportive spouse is that they really do trust the entrepreneur's judgment. They don't fret. All supportive spouses worry about, can we afford this? And they might nag him or her to get home and take care of something else, too. But in general, they trust their judgment, and they really do want to be part of the business if in just a small way, just as somebody who talks to their partner about it. Or like I said, they may go in and they may do the interior design for the office, but they don't really participate in the business. These are people that are called stakeholders, too. If you talk about a larger family business, there are people that are part of your family who care and want you to do well and help you out with it informally.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's stakeholders. You know, and it's interesting that you mentioned that. I want to ask you a question about, have you seen, I talk with people in the work that I do who have, you know, even family members who just really are kind of against the entrepreneurial idea altogether, I guess kind of naysayers or, you know, you could never do that, or what makes you think you could do that? How do people that you deal with, or what sort of suggestions do you have for people who are in that situation to deal with that kind of negativity from people, you know, like if Thanksgiving's coming up, we got to have dinner with some of these people in a couple of weeks.
Right.
What sorts of tips do you have for people in that situation when they really are committed to their business?
You know, I remind people to stay really loving. And when somebody gives you negative advice like that, always thank them for caring. You know, you might say, thank you so much for caring. I know this doesn't work for you, but I want to do this. Mm-hmm. Or I'm happy with my lifestyle. So you're not a doormat, and you don't just kind of agree with them. But you realize that they just don't know.
Right.
They don't know. It's not their life. And even if they know you, have known you all your life, it could be grandma, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know what's in your heart. So you try to be as loving as possible and, you know, thank them for caring, but you can still say no to the advice. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've got somebody who's pretty insistent, I think you just avoid it. You know, you look at your watch and you say, oh, my gosh, I'm late for this phone call. I'm trying to make a call right now, and you get up and get out of there because otherwise it brings you down. But here's the third thing. Realize that they just aren't as gutsy as you. And when you are successful, see, when you've arrived and you are the host of the Lifestyle CEO show, then people say, wow, isn't that great? And they're happy for you, right? But that they're nervous about all this stuff you have to go through, and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and maybe sometimes people don't understand. I, by the way, did not have that issue. It's kind of interesting, though, that I talk with a lot of people who do, and I'm not a therapist or a counselor or anything. I just hear of people sort of describing that. But one of the other really...
Well, I was going to tell you something. I hate to interrupt you, but I was going to tell you something that people have said to me for years and years. They say, it's always amusing when you get these backhanded compliments. They say, I can't believe you're doing that. I would never do that. But I know you can.
Yeah.
And when they say, that's one of those backhanded compliments. They're like, I know you can do it, but I would never do it in a million years. You've got to be careful and not let that hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing their best to say, good for you.
Right. Right. And, you know, that's such a great point, to put the most positive spin you can on it, no matter what it is. We have to go. My engineer is telling me that we have to go to another break.
Okay.
Even though I'm having such a fantastic time, and I do have more questions to ask you pertaining really to kind of the lifestyle and how children are involved in these kind of co-preneur or dual entrepreneur family situations. Most of the listeners to this show have children, and they are in a situation where they have to face some of these kinds of issues and make some of these judgment calls and balances where children and family are concerned. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're talking to Dr. Marshak, the author of Entrepreneurial Couples, and we'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show, everyone. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and we are here today talking with Dr. Kathy Marshak, psychologist and author of Entrepreneurial Couples, Making It Work, At Work and at Home. And I want you to know that you can visit Dr. Marshak's website at kmarshak, that's her last name, it's spelled MarshaCK.com, kmarshak.com, where you can get a copy of her book and read some of her articles and other interesting information that she shares there. And I want to also mention that Dr. Marshak has a more recent book out on a different topic, and it has to do with 60 things you should do when you turn 60. Very, very interesting, and I know you have a couple of other books there. I want to encourage you guys to go and check that website out and get some of her free resources and more information about Dr. Marshak and her work. But we are here today to talk about entrepreneurial couples, which, as you know, is a passion of mine. And one of the chapters in Dr. Marshak's book, Entrepreneurial Couples, has to do with the sort of parenting dynamic. And the name of the chapter is Parenting and Family Life, Rounding Out Your Family Plan. And one of the points you make is that there are different challenges and complications, Dr. Marshak, associated with raising children in an entrepreneurial, family entrepreneurial environment than there are in an environment where both parents work outside the home, or even where one is outside the home and the other one is at home but not running a business. What are some of those differences, and how can couples who are dealing with, family businesses with children, how can they deal with some of those and still come out on top?
Well, you know, I'm really glad you're asking this question, because I think that's the whole reason I wanted to write the book in the first place, was to really help families and help the kids make it through these trials of their parents' entrepreneurial startups and so forth. But I want you to know that the editor of the book wanted to scratch that chapter. Yes. And it was amazing to me. She teased me about it, and she said, well, why do we need to give anybody any help on how to, you know, include the children in this process? And she says, what's that have to do with the entrepreneurial couple lifestyle? And I just, my mouth just about hit the floor when she asked me that. But so I talked her into keeping the chapter, which is a good thing.
I'm so glad you did, because I mean, I know you obviously know how important that is, and maybe now that the book's been out for a while, maybe the editor does too.
I think so, you know. And you know that, and you're right, the book has been out for a while, and I think that people weren't aware even then, even though there was the statistics were coming in, as how many women are actually starting these businesses. And when they start businesses, they've got families, and they've got spouses and significant others, and it's very important to them to maintain those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an important chapter. And I thought it was just so amusing that she couldn't understand why we would need that chapter in there at all.
Well, you obviously needed to write this book, if for no other reason than to get that chapter in there. I'm so glad you did, because it is complicated in ways that most people don't understand, because most people aren't used to it. The traditional 9-to-5 work model is still so predominant.
Well, and I'm also going to let you know that when I've talked to many adults who grew up with entrepreneurial parents, and a good chunk of these people, the majority of them, tell me that they would never, ever raise their children in an entrepreneurial venture. They absolutely are appalled. And that's sad, because it doesn't have to be that way. It absolutely doesn't have to be that way. But what they grew up with was mom and dad working their brains out and never really being available, or rushing to the soccer game at halftime to see the last part of the game, and then leaving before it was over and asking another parent to take their child home. That's what the business can do to you if you're not clear about what your values are. Or another option is dad works his brains out and mom does everything else. So the kids have mom, but they don't have mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people don't realize how much work that business is going to take out of them. And we don't have any... We haven't been taught how to say no to the cell phone, no to the fax, no to the contract, even if it's going to take so much out of you that you can't be true to your sweetheart and your children.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side of that, Dr. Marshak, at the risk of sounding callous, do we also need sometimes to learn how to say no to the child?
Yeah, you know, we live in a society now where it's a lot different. Yeah, for the boomers, when we were growing up, the primary value that parents were teaching their children was obedience. Now, what sociologists are telling us is Americans are teaching their children independence.
Mm.
Well, what that means, it sounds like it's a good deal, you know, but what it really means is that we are treating our children like they're adults, and they're not. They're just not. Mm. They're not ready to be allowed to make decisions, to be left to their, I mean, some, you know, we little by little nudge them into independence, but we treat them, unfortunately, many Americans treat their children as if they are peers or buddies, and it doesn't work. Kids need to know the structure and to be taught things before they can really totally internalize it and learn and be on their own. So, again, with a business, if your child is in daycare, or even just waiting for making their own dinner because mom and dad are just too swamped and can't get home until 7:30, what happens is that kids don't get a sense that we really are part of the team, part of the togetherness.
I see.
Adults can do that. The adults can say, don't worry, honey, I'll put dinner in the microwave and it'll be ready when you get home.
Right.
We can anticipate that stuff. We can go into the future and still feel part of the team even when we're working long hours.
Mm-hmm.
But kids can't. They don't have the brains grown in yet for that. Mm. So they just assume that mom and dad don't care.
Oh,
that's where they go with it.
Thought.
Yeah, and that's terrible. That's terrible. And so they grow up with self-esteem issues or whatever. So what I really encourage people to do is to consider how much this business is going to take out of you, or maybe you grow it slower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you grow it more slowly. What my research shows is that entrepreneurial couples are willing to stay late at work, go to work early, in much higher proportion than is seen in the dual career population.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a spouses who are both working but not in a not together and not in a business,
right?
They are not willing to stay work late or go to work early as often as entrepreneurs are.
Do you think it sometimes helps, Dr. Marshak, because when you are an entrepreneur, you do have crazy hours, and I suppose it helps if the business is in the home, even if you're working crazy hours, at least your face is there, and, you know, you can make oatmeal and stuff while you're,
yeah,
while you're, you know, returning a quick phone call. But I know that has issues in and of itself. But do you think it helps sometimes to integrate the child into the business as soon as they're able to do little things like lick a stamp or empty the trash or any of those types of things?
Yes, of course that's helpful. I think some people go overboard and get their, you know, 6-year-old has a briefcase, but but of course it helps, because that's the positive side of it. Children are getting to see the whole family working together, see how business works. You know, they're getting an idea about that. Yeah, my daughters, I do have my office in my home. My daughters have both helped out with shredding stuff or typing up labels for things. So they get a sense of
right,
what mom does, what her work is about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's very very valuable, and you probably are creating some budding entrepreneurs by doing that. On the other hand, it's real important to encourage the children to also go outside the family to find jobs, too, as they get older, so they know what the world is like out there instead of relying only on the comfort of the family business to take care
right
of them.
Right, and is so great that we live in this age where either option is attractive.
Yes.
Depending on what you want, or maybe even at whatever stage in your life. I know so many people, as I'm sure you do, who have a full-time job and a business.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, that's a, obviously a much more stressful lifestyle than if you have one or the other at some point, but I would imagine that we're going to see more and more people who can benefit from your work in this area, because I think people are starting to see that maybe the solution to this work-life balance, which is a term, balance, which I think is a term that kind of doesn't really mean anything in and of itself. I guess the integration of work, because we all have to work, we have to eat,
right,
and life and things that we enjoy, the interconnectedness of those two things just seems to be evolving more and more over time. Do you notice that when you talk with your clients, whether they come in for this kind of counseling specifically or not? Are you seeing more overlap in those areas of their lives?
You know, again, you are, I think, really an exception to the rule. You see this. I believe it's true. I'm so glad you're asking these things in this very positive framework. I think that health comes by recognizing that we are a whole being, and that we're not separate. We're not separate from each other, and we're not separate from the various contexts of our lives. So when I'm at work, I'm still a mom.
Right.
Oh, and when I'm a mom, I'm actually still a psychologist, because it's just a hoot how my children's friends see me. You know, they see me as a psychologist who's also the mom. And my children, you know, have asked me for advice from the psychologist before, you know. So it's very important to recognize that we've got artificial boundaries between home and work, and they really don't exist. If you're an entrepreneurial couple at home, at work, you're just that same couple at home. You're just putting on different hats, but really being the same person. I don't know if this is making sense, but
No, it does, and I think that the fact that it seems a little bit circuitous is because it kind of is.
Absolutely. I kind of use the example of the figure ground image, you know, like when you look at this picture, and mm-hmm. one time you see it, it looks like a vase, you know, and then if you look at it again, it looks like the profile of a woman's face.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen those kind of pictures before.
Yes,
and they're called figure ground images. And what it means is that at any one time, our conscious mind might be paying attention to one thing, but the rest of us is still paying attention to other things. So even when you're cooking dinner, you may come up with a great marketing plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And in the middle of a board meeting, your cell phone may ring, and mm-hmm. the school is calling because your kid's sick and you need to make plans for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you act like you shouldn't take that phone call when you're in the board meeting,
mm-hmm.
then you're sending messages to all these people that you're working with that your family's not important.
Yeah, or that you have to hide the fact that you've got a toddler at home. And
exactly.
That you seem less professional.
Yeah, you seem less professional, which is just ridiculous. You know, one
yeah.
of my favorite stories was when my daughter was 4 or 5 years old, and she had on a pair of my cast-off high heels, an apron, and
uh-huh.
a little dolly stroller, and
oh.
and she had a Crayola case that kind of looked like a blue briefcase.
Uh-huh.
And she was walking to the back door, rolling her dolly,
uh-huh.
and in my high heels, you know, and she said, she turned around, I said, "Where are you going, honey?" And she says, "Bye-bye, Mommy. I'm going to a meeting."
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, so that's her role model.
Yeah.
And I think it's wonderful.
Isn't it great? I mean, I see my 5-year-old do that. I love that you describe that because in many ways, you remember that old perfume commercial about the woman who could fry up the bacon and
and
take care of the kids and never forget you have a man?
Right, exactly.
You know, I think about that. It's interesting because when I think about that commercial, and of course it's played a lot now in these kinds of context of these conversations, because what they were talking about was a woman who could then go and break the glass ceiling in a traditional sense.
Right.
But that same commercial could be played today for the woman who has her own business, who finds a way to take those children to her office or to breastfeed while she's doing a radio show, which I have done before. I mean, you know, it's tough sometimes, and you don't want the baby crying in the background. And obviously, if you're on the phone with, you know, some investor, you certainly don't want to have to juggle your toddler at the same time. But there's far more situations where, as you describe in your book, you can integrate your family into an entrepreneurial venture and create a situation where they can see a life in front of them with more and more options than ever before and more choices, more control over the things that they can do with their lives.
The key is to integrate, though, and I really want people to understand that. It's not to find a way so that part of your life can be somehow taken care of so it doesn't interfere.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you're
mm-hmm.
thinking about your family is interfering or the business is interfering,
right,
then
right.
that doesn't work. But if you say, well, how can I do it together? How could I bring these
yeah.
together?
Oh.
How could the kids learn about business and yet still get quality time from mom and dad? You
right.
try to figure out how do we integrate it as opposed
yeah.
to keeping them separate so they don't interfere.
Right, and everybody just learned so much, and I certainly did, and I know my listeners did on today's show. Thank you, Dr. Kathy Marshak, author of Entrepreneurial Couples, Making It Work at Work and at Home. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful. I've got some great shows coming up over the holiday season for you guys. Visit lifestyleceo.com to learn about them. I'll see you next week. In the meantime, break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.